12. We'll spend most of our time there in the next few moments. But Acts chapter 12, as we get closer and closer to Missions Conference, of course, the New Testament church, such a great example of how to support, how to grow missions and so forth, and all the scriptures share. But we want to look at some examples here in the New Testament on how to help make a Christian servant. A Christian servant. How do you do that? You know, is there some kind of job description we're supposed to fill out and maybe put our 2 cents in? Well, very interesting that God gives us some answers on that. We're just going to read a couple of verses right now. Acts chapter 12. Take a look at verse number 12, please. Verse number 12. We'll start there. The Bible says, "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary." This is talking about the Apostle Peter. "He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." Now skip down to chapter 13, please. Chapter 13. Take a look. Verse number 4 and 5. "So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister." Same John in Acts 12, John Mark, etc., is the same guy in Acts chapter 13. Somewhere along the line, God helped him to be a minister. Did he stay that way? Did he change? What helped him get there and what helped him to finish well? Well, I'd like to share some thoughts on that, how a young man who had examples grew to serve God, then he failed, and then he got back with God, and he got back in serving the Lord, and was a very important part of the New Testament as well. Why don't you go sit right there, son? I know that place has been calling you right there. Thank you. So I'd like to share with you this afternoon biblical examples that help make a Christian servant. Biblical examples, and we see it in Acts chapter 12, that help make a Christian servant. The word minister there means to serve, a servant. What really it sounds like Mark was, John Mark was, at least at the first, was he was kind of the gopher. Everybody know what a gopher is at the job site? Go for this, go for that. Everybody else is busy, you go get this for us. Come back. But certainly he was a part of the work and ministry and saw exactly what it took to share the gospel with people and serve the Lord. So we'd like to see who was instrumental in his life and what did they do. So let's go ahead and pray. We'll ask God to help us, and then we'll look some more in the Bible. Father, thank you for the examples in our own life, Lord, that you've used to help get us here today, Lord. Now I pray, Father, help us to be that kind of person, that kind of Christian for others, an example that would honor the Lord Jesus, but also be willing to bring someone else along in this Christian life. May you, God, help us as we look in the Bible, and as you speak, Lord, help us to respond, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Biblical examples that help make a Christian servant. Looking in verse number 2, let's take a look in chapter 12 of verse number 2. I'll start with verse 1, actually. Verse 1 sets it up. The Bible says in verse 1, "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." Number one, let me share with you the example that we see here in these verses, and that is this. There is the example of men faithful to Jesus. There is the example of men faithful to Jesus. God used these great men, James, Peter, and the disciples there in Jerusalem to be an example, not just to John Mark, but of course others alongside them. Here we see, first of all, the example of James. James was the brother of John. This is the James that he's talking about, son of Zebedee and Shalom. And God had shared with him very clearly his life was not going to end in his old age. And we'll look at that in just a bit. Of course, James was executed, and he was executed for preaching Christ. That was it. That was it. He didn't break any laws other than he preached something different than what the Jews wanted to hear. This is nothing new. And I should say it was new then, but it's continued on since then. Many people have been persecuted and even killed for sharing Jesus Christ as the Savior. In 1555, on July 1st, a man named John Bradford was burned to death, along with many others were too in England at that time. He was the chaplain to King Edward VI of England and was an outspoken preacher for Jesus Christ. As he was being driven to be burned, permission was given him to speak. And from the wagon in which he rode to his death, the entire way out of the city of London, he shouted, "Christ, Christ, none but Christ." I guess he was burned. As I read the story, there was another young man that was next to him. They were burned together at the stake, and he was overheard saying, "Fear not, my young friend, for we sit at the table of our Lord later today." These are people who had a vision and understanding of who Jesus really is. You know, we get offended when somebody says something, you know, not very friendly to us, where these men, they didn't care. They went out and preached Christ anyway. And James was that kind of man. James was prepared for execution, as was his Savior. Turn with me, if you would, Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. He was prepared for execution, certainly persecution. Now, who was James's brother again? James and John. This passage was both those men were there, and Jesus was referring to both of them in this passage. Let me start with verse 20. The Bible says, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him, and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able." Now we know Jesus is referring to death when he says cup, for sure. Remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying. The Bible says he asked God if this cup might pass, nevertheless thy will. So he's referring certainly to death and the method of death, I think, and when he talks about the baptism, the crucifixion or the execution. And he saith unto them, "Ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." James was prepared for this execution, as was Jesus. Now let me ask you a question. Was John executed? No, he didn't die, but he was certainly persecuted, and he was exiled. And many history tells us that he was in oil, you know, hot oil for a long time. And so he was persecuted and tortured, but God allowed him to continue to live and share with us, of course, the Gospel of John and the letters of John and Revelation. But here, clearly, James was a great example of faithfulness to Jesus. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 12. Again, right at the beginning, we see another example, the example of Peter. Verse 3 says that he was taken. He took Peter also, then were the days of unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, he was thrown in prison. He was already familiar with prison, by the way. This was nothing new for him. If you go back to chapter 5, take a look, verse 17 and 18 of Acts chapter 5. This was right near the beginning of the ministry of the New Testament church. And it didn't take long for Peter and the other apostles to become residents of the jail, local prison. Verse 17, then the high priest rose and all that were with him, which is of the sect of Sadducees, and were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. You're going to jail and you're going to be with all the riffraff. You know, it's not the white collar jail. This is where the worst of the worst are, and you're going to stay there. Peter was already familiar with prison. This was not a threat that he couldn't turn over to the Lord. Peter had personally, in fact, when it comes to Mark as the example, he had led him to Christ at some point. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13, if you want to turn there, you can. Here's what it says. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. When someone shares that in the New Testament, for example, Paul talks about Timothy as his son, they're talking about spiritual ties, not physical ties. And so most believe that this verse refers to John Mark as having been led to Christ, received the Lord, after hearing and talking with the Apostle Peter. He had personally led him to the Lord, and we see that great example. There's also the example of unnamed disciples. Just like Damascus we saw earlier, take a look here in Acts 12, look at verse 5. These were disciples in Jerusalem. Verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Again, and by the way, here we are in Acts chapter 12. How many people have gotten saved that we know of by the time Acts 12 gets here? At least 9,000 are mentioned in chapter 2 and chapter 4. Many thousands came to Christ, and who knows how many beyond that. So there was a lot of people who knew the Lord. Most of them will never know until we get to heaven. We don't know their names. We don't know what kind of families they had, etc. Other than this, they were people who prayed for Peter. They were people who called on God. They were examples of living for Christ. The church was known for persistent prayer. Notice verse 5, not only did they pray, but they prayed what? They prayed without ceasing. It was a 24-hour vigilant prayer, and the church was unified in their reliance on God. Take a look again, verse 12, if you would. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Here's the example of faithful men, faithful to Jesus. Another example we see that helps make a servant for Christ, helps bring up a Christian servant, is found in verse number 12 again, and that is the example of a family faithful to Jesus, Notice again verse 12, he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Mark's mother had God's people in her son's life. We don't hear about his father. We don't know a lot about him beyond this, other than he has an uncle. We'll look at him in just a minute. But one thing we know about his mom is that she made sure her house was open for God's business. I appreciate my mother. I love her dearly. And I know you all love her too, don't you?
Amen.
Okay. When Dad was taken out of my life by his own hand, and God decided that he was not going to come back for a while, one thing my mother did is she went to other men in our church at the time and said, would you be willing to spend some time with my son? You know, take him out, talk to him about how to be a man or how to live for God or whatever. And a few of the men took that responsibility on. Not all the time, not every week, but something that was just in her heart, she knew she couldn't do herself. She said, God has a man to help a man And I would like you men to be some of that in his life. When groups would come, or, you know, missionaries would come, or anything, she'd go up and she'd say, "We'd like to keep one of those guys. We want those guys in my house," you know. Now, my mom worked a lot. She worked a lot of overtime. So here's what she would do. "We're going to have these guys over at our house. So, Mark, you're going to have to figure out how to take care of them." And I had a younger sister, too. But the idea was she wanted godly people that she saw to be in our lives as we were growing up. And I thank God for that. This mother, and it could be father, mom, dad, whoever, our goal ought to be, you know, you're not the only godly person that can help your child. And what God has around you, use for his glory. Her house was open for God's business, and she wanted God's people in her son's life. Mary's house was open also for prayer. For prayer. Wow. Bible says they went to her house, and this might be the place where they were praying without ceasing. She didn't get much rest. But Peter knew that was the place. You know, of all the places he knew to go to, he went to her house because he knew. Mary's house is the place where they're praying for me. His mother was a great example in his family. He had an uncle. Look at verse 25 here. Verse 25. Who is that guy? Let me start with verse 24. We're looking at the family members who were faithful to Jesus as an example to him. "But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." Mark's uncle was known, Barnabas. By the way, what was his birth name? Anybody remember? We looked at this Thursday night with the deacon, so I know Brother Luke and Daryl know. What was his birth name, Barnabas's? Joseph, yeah. That was what he was born with, but he was called Barnabas because everybody looked at him and said, "Man, that guy just cares for people." And you know what? How he cared? Here's something I noticed. Mark's uncle was known for caring for people that others didn't care for. He was known for caring for people that others didn't care for. Who went to Jerusalem and spoke for Saul? When he finally went to Jerusalem to speak to the apostles and kind of present his life, they didn't want to hear from Saul. In fact, the Bible says they were afraid of him and they didn't believe he was a Christian. Who went and spoke for him? It was Barnabas. Later on, again, as we'll know and find out, Mark did not stick with the mission team. He left and eventually went back home, is what we understand. Perhaps he went to be with Peter. That was the time he spent with Peter. We're not sure about that. But the truth of the matter is, he walked away from the ministry. And yet, who helped bring him back? It was Barnabas. Who helped encourage him to, "Hey, don't quit"? Listen, maybe you got to grow some, but don't quit and leave God. He's not going to leave you. That was Barnabas. He was one who was known for caring for people that others didn't care for. That's easy, right? That is not easy. Especially when those people, with all your kindness and generosity, they turn around and do you wrong. And Barnabas was a guy who said, "You know what? I do that to Jesus all the time. I'm going to try and live and help others do something for God, even if it takes a little time." His uncle, Barnabas. Then let's talk about his mentor, Peter. We saw in 1 Peter how God used him to lead him to Christ. Mark's mentor showed how Jesus can restore failures. How Jesus can restore failures. What did Peter do with Jesus? What's the last thing he did to Jesus before Christ went to the cross? The last thing recorded is he denied him. He acted like he never knew the guy. You're totally wrong. In fact, the Bible says he cursed and denied him. Turn with me to chapter 13 again here. Take a look at verse number 13. So we're getting a little farther down the trip that is mentioned in chapter 12 and 13. And verse 13 tells us about what happened with Mark. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Mark quit. Mark quit. And we know that's the attitude he had, is I'm not going any farther, is the way that Saul, or I should say Paul, refused to have him on the team again, at least at the beginning. In fact, there was a split between Paul and Barnabas, and though it's never mentioned what it is, many believe this was part of it. Mark just wasn't going to be coming, and you want to deal with him, fine, but I'm not. I'm going on. And then he had another partner that joined up with him, which his name was Paul and Silas. So they became a ministry team, and which later on Barnabas became a ministry team with others too. But he quit. He quit. Peter denied even knowing Jesus. At least Mark didn't do that. There's nothing about his story that we see there, but can you imagine him going back and sensing the failure on people's face? What are you doing here? I thought you were going with Paul and your uncle over there. I thought you were all sold out. What happened? I don't know how many times he would have had to answer that, but I'm sure it wasn't easy. What happened to Peter after he denied Christ? He did not become a footnote in history. He repented. The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. We read that in Sunday school this morning. And later on, Jesus Christ, when he met with him face to face, the resurrected Christ, gave Peter an opportunity to be restored. And Peter went on and lived boldly for Jesus Christ. What did Mark do? He surrendered. He grew. He later lived boldly for Christ. Say, how do you know that? Can you go to the Gospels here and start at the first one, and then you got Matthew there, one of the Lord's disciples. Then you got Mark. The Holy Spirit doesn't use people who aren't trying to live for the Lord. The Holy Spirit doesn't put the writings of Mark that most believe was the account that Peter had as he saw his time with Christ and the various events. Many believe that was a recording or a record of what he saw and shared through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But he wrote the gospel through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And Mark became a comfort and help to guess who? The one guy who didn't want him. To Paul. Turn with me, if you would, Colossians chapter 4. Let's go there. There's a couple places we want to look at. Colossians is the first one. And chapter 4. Let's see. Let's take a look at... Let me start with verse 7. At the end of a lot of the letters that the Apostle Paul shared or sent, he would always mention certain people, people that had significance at the time in his ministry or that he wanted others to recognize has been used of God. Start with verse number 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is beloved, is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Young man who had failed, and yet he grew, he surrendered, and now the Apostle Paul almost can't do without him. He's a comfort to me. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It wasn't the last time that the two of them would come together. Chapter 4, look at verse number 11, please. Let me start with verse number 9. Verse 9. Of course, Timothy written to who? Timothy. And all of us Christians, it's specifically a pastoral, called a pastoral epistle. So it has a lot of pastoral instruction in it, how to serve the Lord as in the ministry. But take a look at verse number 9. Do thy diligence, talking to Timothy here personally, to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Wow. What an example that he had to look to, these men, his family. But not only that, the greatest example he had was the example of his Savior, Jesus' faithfulness to him. The Bible talks about there is the example of our Savior's faithfulness to us. Let's take a look at that, starting in the Gospel of John. Let's go there. Maybe you've grown up with not the best family in the world. Things didn't work out the way the cookie cutter made them. And things didn't turn out the way you had hoped, nor the way the Bible says they should. By the way, since you've heard Scripture, you can do it God's way, amen? If you have the Bible, you can do it God's way. He says, I'll help you. I've got the Holy Spirit here helping you too and guiding you. What were some examples that Jesus is to us? For what I'm saying is, if we had no other examples, those men aren't there, our family's not what it should have been, whatever else, it's been a tough life, you got the Savior to look to. You've got Jesus. John chapter 13. Let's read these verses together so I know you're still awake, all right? Verse 14, that's where we want to start. John 13, let's start in verse 14 and read down to verse 17. Let's just all read those together, shall we? Verse 13. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given to you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Jesus gave us the example of a servant. Here in this example, right near the time before he was taken to the cross, he washed every disciple's feet in that room. Every disciple, the Bible says. He washed the feet of the one who was about ready to go tell the priests, come and get him. Take him to his death. Give me my money. And there was Jesus on his knees, serving him too. Did Jesus know Judas was going to do that? Let me ask you. No doubt about it, he did. And yet he still served. Jesus was an example of service. Jesus, of course, was an example of sacrifice. Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. His example of being a sacrifice. What did Jesus get out of going to the cross? He gets Christians who still aren't perfect. He gets brothers and sisters, heirs to the inheritance that still disobey and fail God. And yet we get a Savior who never leaves us nor forsakes us. Amen. Who's always available when we call, and shows us that sacrifice is part of living for him, living for the Lord. And yet when we sacrifice things of this world, what do we gain? Man, we gain the blessing of God. We gain a relationship with God that we would never have if we don't. We would never have it. And let me give you this final thought about the Lord Jesus as our example. He was successful in making disciples. Let's go to that Gospel of Mark. Would you go there? Mark 16, right near the end. Jesus was successful in making disciples. And disciple making is part of the job when you're born again. As you grow, something God would like us to do is to reproduce. That's why we take on missionaries, so they reproduce church plants, other Christians, etc., who can serve the Lord and who can reproduce, etc. Mark 16, take a look, verse 19, verse 20. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, his disciples, his apostles, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Now listen to this. The Lord, what? Working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. I like that phrase, the Lord working with them. How many would like the Lord to work with you? How many would like the Lord to work against you? I'm glad you didn't raise your hand. Because he wins. In the end, he wins. And we get on his side, man, we're on the winning side for the Lord. Jesus was successful. He's the greatest example. And folks, God's given us great human examples to look to. Even in this life, we can point to people and say, man, they've been a blessing to me. But none of them compare to Christ. In fact, if they're great examples, they would all say the same thing. Look to Jesus first. Look to Jesus most. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, you remember him? In a few months, we'll be singing his songs, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And he wrote over 1,000 poems, as I understand it. One of them goes like this. Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime, and departing leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another sailing o'er life's solemn main, a forlorn and shipwrecked brother, seeing, shall take heart again. God had great examples in John Mark's life. You know, you can be that example for somebody. Or maybe God wants you to look to some other example instead of who we have, ones who follow along what we see in the Bible. Biblical examples, they can help make a Christian servant. Now, let me ask you this. Did that automatically, those people in his life, automatically make John Mark a great servant for Christ? No. He had to be willing to choose it. He had to be willing to say, yeah, I'll do that. I want to serve the Lord Jesus. There's no greater joy than to do what Jesus wants you to do. No matter how old or what stage of life you're in, serve Jesus. You'll never regret it. Heavenly Father, I pray, help us to be both followers of our Savior and good examples, but yet make us examples too. There are others who need to see godly men and ladies, godly families, Lord, a godly church that gathers together and never ceases to bring others before the throne of God in prayer. Lord, I pray, help us to be people like that. If we're lacking, show us now that we might bring it before you even today. Again, if there's one who needs Jesus as Savior, I pray this would be the afternoon they call on Christ. This would be the time that they ask you that through the name of Christ, name of Jesus, they can have that free salvation and everlasting life. Thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? We'll sing that song. If God's spoken to you about what example you can do or be, and maybe you just simply need to turn over to the Lord, now's a good time to do that. Ray's going to lead us in a song. 383. 383, number 383. Would you turn there? We'll sing that song. And God wants to use us as we sing.